Podcast, where we celebrate women working in animation, illustration, and comics. In an effort to share their stories, we not only cover the steps they have taken to get to their dream jobs, but also the struggles. We highlight artists, writers, and producers. We explore the ups and downs of working in the industry and discuss female representation behind the scenes and on the screen. The Land Below is an upcoming short film that merges animation with live action, following a young girl named Anya who has to venture down into the land below to save her home of Eden Skies from losing its light. This film was created by filmmakers Hannah Spangler and Greg Lawson. You may remember Hannah, who came on the podcast about a year ago and spoke about the project a bit, but today we get to go even more in depth about what it takes to make a collaboration work, especially when you don't even live in the same state. We also talk about how to use your life experience to fuel your characters and stories, and the eternal struggle that is work-life balance.
My name's Greg Lawson. I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area. I recently transplanted over to Los Angeles where, there's just more work, more people to meet, I think, within the animation industry. Well, for film, commercial, photography, anything really. And, you know, my experience was I didn't really have a good experience doing school. I didn't finish junior college because there was just a part of me that I needed just to get out there and do it myself. I was self-taught, you know, YouTube, just having mentors by my side. And I just didn't have very many options at the time. I guess I just didn't do my research, but I just somehow found my way into little freelance jobs. And I worked in San Francisco last year, and I was working for an esports company doing commercial work, like some ads and everything. For like, it's kind of like fantasy football, but for video game players, like professional gamers. and I just didn't find much interest in it because I was always working on my own stuff in the office when no one was looking. I had like my own little door, and I remember just like coming up with ideas and editing videos on the side and then going home and doing it. And, you know, it paid well, but that wasn't the factor that, you know, I didn't want to feel completely safe because of that. And I went to Reimagine, like this, you know, like a new university conference that he holds every year. And I was just heavily inspired by, you know, just getting out there and putting yourself out there and doing everything you can. And I quit the job and I moved out to Los Angeles. And now Hannah and I are doing this project and everything's been pretty good since. But I think I just got lucky. You know, it's preparation meets opportunity, I think, is if you just work hard, you know, that someone's going to eventually believe in your work and give you that opportunity to, you know, move forward.
Completely.
Yeah.
And the Reimagine conference is specific to Southern California. He has it. It was in Costa Mesa this year, right?
Yes. It's at the Wayfair.
Nice.
Gorgeous little venue.
I was so sad I couldn't go.
I know. I was so sad I wasn't able to see you.
Next year.
Next year.
But that was also the deadline that you guys had given yourselves to get the film done as well. But you showed, like, a work in progress?
Yeah, we showed the trailer for it at the, I think it was, like, Saturday afternoon. So we showed our little promotional trailer for it.
Oh, nice.
Received it really well, so we're super excited.
Well, before we move on, even though Hannah has been on Inga Pain Girls before, go ahead and give a brief introduction to you and what you do.
Yeah, I'm Hannah Spangler. As you said, I was a part of your podcast before a few months ago. I was born and raised in the Midwest and currently live in Kalamazoo, Michigan right now. And I go to Kalamazoo Valley Community College. And I'm about to graduate here in a couple weeks in my animation associate's degree. And more opportunities have been opening up for 2017, which remains secret for right now. But yeah, and so I've been working in conceptual development, animation, character design within the past couple years or so. I've freelanced since I was, how old was I in 2011? I forget. But I started then, and I've been working my way towards my dream of creating stories in the animated medium, and I've been able to fulfill that dream with my partner Greg here with The Land Below, and it's just been such a great opportunity to do this.
Very cool. So, Greg is more live-action-oriented in photography and editing, and Hannah is animation-oriented. but you're both storytellers in a visual storytelling medium, obviously. So how did you two find each other?
No university, man. This mentorship program. So cool. It was like, well, I won a one-year scholarship to this mentorship program back in 2014, the end of 2014. So my first year in this program was in 2015. And me and Greg started talking because I guess we found out that we were like one of the only few screenplay writers in the group. And so we just started communicating from there. And then once we met last year's Reimagine, we just got so many new ideas, and then that's kind of how this whole project sparked. But I think that's how we first met.
Yeah. Was that when it clicked that you two could make something together?
Yeah. I think so, because, you know, there were some other members we threw together ideas with, and unfortunately they weren't able to hop on the project. And, you know, they had prior commitments to their own commissions and everything, and I mean they're doing like really well by themselves and everything. I'm happy for them. You know, there's always time in the future. There's always time. And you know, it's like, well, it's like I do live action, you do animation, and because what I didn't state before is I really want to get into like creative or art directing when it comes to films, and you know, into story and all that. You know, I love editing and doing cinematography and all that, but I think my true passion, and which I think this project helped me find out more, is just that I really love doing like art directing and just kind of just seeing the progress of a story and through the colors, sights, you know, sounds, everything that goes into a film. And, you know, this project has definitely opened my eyes a lot. And, you know, the editing process is coming up soon, too. So, well, I mean, it's already started, but crunch time is coming up.
Yes. Yes, it is.
What is The Land Below? That's the project that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the origin story? How did it develop? It sounds like it came from that meeting.
Yeah, you want to take it this one, Hannah?
I did it last time. I think you should do it this time.
Okay, all right. So pretty much, it spawned because of someone we know. He had certain characters that we thought would be interesting in a world that Hannah wanted to create. And, you know, it didn't work out. So we were just like, well, let's keep the idea of, like, this young girl being in an environment that is totally unknown to her in a different world. Because she's from the land above, technically, that's not the name. Where she's from is a land called, like, Eden Skies, which is, like, imagine, like a cloud city type thing. Mm-hmm. But actual mountains and, you know, and terrain and everything. But the land below is supposed to be, like, almost like a post-apocalyptic kind of Earth, because, you know, this ruler has kind of gotten greed with, you know, like, with power that he's obtained through this lantern. And Anya, the young girl, the main girl, her father went to go fix, you know, what had happened, and he never came back. So, you know, she thought it was bestowed upon her to go down there and figure out what's going on. And along the way, she learns, you know, trust, like, you know, self-love, faith, and all these things that, you know, come into a young woman's journey, you know.
And the story really parallels, like, kind of what we're doing, like, as we're making it, like, taking risks and believing in ourselves and going into, like, facing our fears when it comes to this huge project, which is kind of our land below, you know.
Yeah.
So the land below kind of represents the fears that you have when it comes to overcoming certain stigmas, or thinking that you're too young, or that you're not well capable of doing some things. So it's really cool how, like, the process into making this film is very similar to what the stories were trying to tell, which was, I thought, was super cool.
Yeah, because this whole time, this film has been, like, growing as we grow. It's really cool, you know, and didn't really realize that, or at least I didn't really, like, realize that until recently. And, like, this film is, like, us, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surreal, yeah.
Nice. Is that something, well, you just recently realized that, but, like, how did you make that connection?
I think maybe on my end is when I first moved out to LA, I was just like, hey, Hannah, you know, like, are you busy? You know, like, let's work on something. Let's make something happen. Let's collaborate. So, because, you know, Hannah's in Michigan, I'm in Los Angeles, and Hannah knows this amazing composer who's in England. So we have, like, this, like, collaboration triangle going on in, you know, these different states and countries. And I think it's the power of collaboration. And there's people make more excuses than time. And I'm just like, you know, we have the internet. We have all these amazing utilities and tools.
We are in the future.
Yeah, and, you know, we're being present. We're using them. We're making something, you know, beautiful with it. And, you know, just hoping to inspire that way that, like, you can make something regardless, you know, like, doesn't matter where they are. Just constant communication and trust and faith in everything. And then this happens.
Yeah, it's so true because I was in my last couple weeks of my winter semester, and it was, I think you just randomly texted me in the middle of April, and he's like, hey, you want to do something? And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And it's so simple. It's so funny how sometimes people can complicate some of these things, because it really is simple as just doing, making a decision and just starting to do things. And so then we just kept in communication, like, very often, and just started doing pre-production work and thinking about ideas and forming these characters. And I would do, like, really quick concepts on live video calls, and he was able to see some of my process and everything. And it's just how cool, like, technology can bring people together in order to create really cool things like this.
Yeah. Do you guys mostly use Skype, or do you talk over the phone?
Google Hangout.
Yeah, Google Hangout and Slack. Slack is awesome thingamahoodad to communicate with.
It's like, it reminds me of, you know, back in the day where you'd use, like, AOL Instant Messenger. It's, you know, like that, but for businesses. And that's what I compare it to, because people are like, what's Slack? I'm like, oh, do you remember AIM back in the day? You know, it's kind of like that. But, you know, you get to share movie files, music files, GIFs, or, you know, whatever you call them, GIFs, I don't know. But, yeah, it's just for fun. Yeah, you know, it's, and you get to make, like, subtopics. So, like, you know, we had a topic for character development. We had a chat room, voice actors, all this stuff. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I like that it can be departmentalized that way. You have a curious and adventurous female lead who isn't the typical one dimension that we typically see in film and TV. It seems like she's very complicated, and, like, I haven't seen it, so I'm making assumptions based off the trailer that I've seen. But can you talk about developing her, like, both in design as well in just personality?
Yeah, design-wise, 'cause for this world to kind of make an impact in the setting that we're giving it, I wanted it to have, like, a really distinct difference between what we see as reality in this, like, fantasy world. And so I'm a fan of drawing huge ears. I don't know why that's my thing, but it just, like, symbolizes probably innocence or something. I don't know. It might be something psychological. But anyway, I wanted to, yeah, it's a cute little big ears. But with her character, we actually kind of started her out as, like, this really stubborn, sassy little chick who won't take no for an answer kind of thing. But it just didn't fit what we were trying to say. And so as we were developing her style and ultimately her character, we tried to create a character that we can ultimately relate to when it comes to these situations when you're faced with risk and choices that seem dangerous. And so we wanted to kind of implement that personality and that style to her so that the viewer can ultimately, as they see her go throughout her journey, that they can pick up on some things that they can relate to in order to take with them in their life when it comes to them taking risks.
And do you think that you pulled any of those traits out of yourselves?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's how storytelling works. You know, you kind of start with yourself. And I do that with my storytelling, too. I always take some of, like, the little bits of me that I want to see succeed in the world and some of my flaws that I want to see in characters that either can be overcome. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah, you know, I mean, since you're animating the character, you know, I feel like it's only natural to put some of yourself in there. And then also, you know, the people you observe every day. I know some of the other characters, like, I love to people watch. I love to see, like, I remember when I visited Michigan to see Hannah, like, you know, like, for the film and hanging out and everything. We're just people watching. You're like, hey, let's find out someone who just sticks out and let's, you know, draw them, you know? Like, it's just interesting to see all these qualities in random people, you know, to figure them out. Even people in your personal life, you know, there's some characters where, like, huh, my friend would, like, you know, fit this personality really well because, you know, I think it would just mesh with, you know, the main character and all that. And I think that's what it's all about for the most part. And just, you know, just having fun with it. And, you know, it's just all about connection, I think. Yeah. You know, seeing yourself with that character, and then having other people see themselves so they can connect and just feel not never alone, all of that. But yeah, there's definitely like a lot that went into it, especially outfits, because I was, I am a huge fan of Avatar and like The Last Airbender, and I think this inspiration like kind of came from there, like, you know, character design wise, but then Hannah had her own twist with like, you know, like her style, and just, I think it just worked.
The story, as you said, takes place in the world below. And it seems like it's a magical world that echoes class issues of our modern world. Is that right?
Metaphorically speaking, you know, it's definitely like, you know, like I always thought about what if there is, you know, like what if I saw a animated character in person, you know, and then like what would the conflicts have with like, you know, like humans and everything. And I don't know, I kind of went really deep and far with it, but it was kind of fun to play around with the idea. Like what if, you know, we actually lived in that world and one found out the other's weaknesses and harnessed that, you know, with greed and then became evil. And I think the land below, which I think is mostly like, you know, on Earth, just being like post-apocalyptic, kind of just barren, nothing left. I don't know.
I know, this whole thing has just been so experimental.
Yeah. But it's just the thought of that, you know, like what if in real life, you know, we, you know, encountered something like that and, you know, powers went astray and, you know, all that.
So. I really want to see this.
It's coming.
Yeah.
I promise.
In February, right?
Well, it's starting to look like March now, the very end of March now that I'm going to graduate December 18th. I'll have so much time on my hands in order to finish it. So that's going to be the very last bit. We're not going to push back the date anymore. It's going to launch at the end of March for sure.
Awesome. Well, congratulations about pre-graduation.
So much.
Or pre-congratulations about graduation. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yes, I love it.
So it sounds like you guys have done a lot of experimenting since it is an experimental animation because it combines, you know, live action 2D together. So, I mean, what goes into making it and, like, R&Ding this idea?
Let's start from the beginning, shall we?
Yeah, we got time.
Well, first off, pre-production, where we do a lot of the thinking and developing these characters, trying to make them seem relatable and friendly and someone that we can look to and find ourselves in. And then putting those characters in a world where you can escape to and ultimately find yourself in a setting where figure out what your flaws are and what you need to work on or what you love about yourself. But when it comes to the process of actually, like, the production of everything, we actually had to, when he was over in Kalamazoo, we had to sit down and really think about this one particular scene that made our minds, like, explode and implode and explode again, because it was just so hard to figure out what the heck we wanted to do with this particular scene. So it's a lot of just problem solving, especially with working, because this is my first time animating over live action footage on this huge project. So that alone is experimental for me, but it's really just a lot of trial and error and practice and trusting yourself and your abilities to get things done and trusting your partner to trust you and give you moral support when you have mental breakdowns. The amount of mental breakdowns you've had to endure over the past 7 months are at least 12. I'm just saying.
You know, it's like, and a lot of them aren't even film related. It's just like life just kicks you, you know, where you don't want to be kicked sometimes. And it's just like, you know, for me, it's just like, you know, I'm trying to get grounded and find a good job out here. And then on top of this project that I'm like, whoa, it's a lot bigger than I thought it would be. Cause, you know, why not? Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, man, I don't have like any money, like any of this, like I'm freaking out, but I know it, bigger picture is what always matters. And it's just, you know, everyone has rough seasons and everything, but it's like when personal life is mixed in with that, that's when it gets like crazy for me, because it's like, there's no way I'm going to let this, like, you know, interfere with the film. It's irrelevant. It shouldn't like interfere with it. Cause you know, it should be like your safe place, you know, like to work on something like that. But some days it's just really hard.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like, you know, some people go through that. So
it takes a lot of brain power to survive every day.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
I have some people I vent to, like my, I have a couple mentors, and then Hannah, and then other friends I just vent to, and you know, mm-hmm. you just have to like have those people fall back on sometimes. And
for sure, just to get it out of your system, especially when you're like a verbal thinker, you need an outlet. And so sometimes Greg is my outlet almost all the time when it comes to stuff like this. But no, it's really interesting to see how, like, even over the past 7 months, just some of the things that we've had to overcome in life and in this production, it's like, holy crap, we've actually done a pretty decent job so far. I mean, especially when it's just you, me, and Marcus Warner as our composer, just doing this huge, huge project in the midst of life. It's just like, can we just get, like, a medal or something? Because I feel like we deserve it.
The gold medal.
Yes.
What do you think the biggest, like, obstacle has been? Can you speak into it a bit?
Distance.
That's one. Another one is, you know, how to adapt the story. I think in the beginning, the biggest one for me was, like, how... I mean, we've all seen, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, all, like, you know, a few of those, like, really good
like live action.
Yeah, it's just like, well, how do we adapt this story to live action? Because when I had to go out and shoot some of these scenes, you just have to imagine things. You just set up a frame, and I had no references like, the, you know, the professionals did. I mean, I could have done something. I could have had, like, little sticks to be, you know, like, to get, like, the perspective right and everything. But I just used my imagination, and... luckily, I have some friends. I remember we had this 12-hour day shoot. We didn't sleep because we were prepping food. We're going to like this campsite area. And yeah, we were going to this campsite area up near Los Angeles. I think it was like Crystal Lake or something like that, if you've heard of that, Cassie. We went up there, and the night before, we were just cooking, cleaning, getting all the gear set up. And because we didn't think we were going to find a camping spot. This is like, I think, a Saturday, so... we get there really early, and there was plenty of spots, and we were like, well, dang, now we have all this time to kill, because I wanted to shoot during, you know, the late afternoon for golden hour, and we're like, well, now what, you know? I've been prepping all day, and it was hot. This was the middle of summer. My friends were just, you know, okay, we had alcohol, we had all this stuff, and that alcohol was not a good idea. Just throw it out there. We had tents and all the stuff to stay cool and everything, and it was the worst but best day of my life.
And
we did get all the shots, and my friend who was helping out, he's assistant directing, he had to learn the script on the spot, and he did a good job. And people were frustrated, but in the end, we all just like went home. I think we had a couple like cheeseburgers. We just talked, and then we just didn't talk we didn't talk to each other for like a week after that.
Wow.
we all had each other's, like, you know, we're just near each other all day. But the scenes like look really good, and you know, it all pays off. But I think it's the moments that goes, those rough moments that go into like production are like the best moments, I think, you know, behind a film. Same with, like, professionals, you know, I'm sure they have their moments, too, but...
That's why a lot of productions feel like families sometimes, yeah. You know, because when you're in that crazy state of stress and deadlines, you just kind of bond, even though it might be, like, really, people might be really frustrated with each other. So, like, how many people did you have on your team when you were, like, shooting?
Excluding me, it was probably 1, 2. Probably 4 people.
Mm-hmm.
We took up like 2 cars and we just drove up there early morning. And I remember all of our sandwiches got soaked in the cooler. So we had no food. But then one guy's like, dude, let's just make a fire pit. And then we cooked all the sandwiches and then we dried them out and then ate them. It was grilled. But it took away all the moisture. It had this nice smoky flavor. My friend's a cook, so it was his idea.
Nice.
So you always have to have a cook. But yeah, that was probably like my favorite part. We had soggy sandwiches, and we just like dried them up and ate them after.
Have a day of the soggy
but
sandwiches.
It kept us going, you know. And,
yeah.
But yeah, we had about like 5 people, I think. So we just had to keep everyone happy and let them do their own thing and vent.
That's insane.
What about on the art side? What size is your team there?
It is just me.
And one person helped out doing some backgrounds, but
yeah, we had a friend that helped us do some conceptual development for a scene or two. But for the most part, it is just me doing all the conceptual development, character designs, animation, backdrops, some pre-rough cut editing and stuff. So that's why we've been kind of pushing back this launch date, because I have not really fully understood how my process works when it comes to a project this big. So I'm learning more about my work as this production keeps going. Mm-hmm. So now that school is out of the way, I can get a set schedule for work. Now that I know, after 7 months of working on this thing, kind of how I, how my process works, I've estimated the date that it will be finished by. So, but yeah, it's been a struggle, kind of feeling like a lot of the weight of this production is on my shoulders, since 80% of kind of what you see on the film is kind of what I've done. But it's so almost like humbling and like awe-inspiring just to see, if I step out of myself and see me doing this, it's like, dang, girl, you go. I mean, like a year ago, you didn't even think you were going to do this. And so like initially when we pushed back the date the first time, I felt like I failed, like, big time, because I set these impossible standards on myself on the first film I've ever worked on. Now that we've gone past this to this part, I don't see it as a failure anymore. I just see my mistakes as a way of progressing in future projects, because now I know how I work and how I mentally process things when it comes to these things. So that, I would say, like, if you're doing something for the first time on this big a scale, don't pressure yourself to be perfect, you know. Right. For those who are listening and want to start something new, like, you don't have to make your deadline so strict, because this is experimental for the both of us, and we have been learning everything as we go, with the Indiegogo project and, you know, communicating.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that project. Ooh, dang.
Oh, speaking of that, we'll get to that one in a bit.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was a crazy experience. So that, and learning how that works, and then how to communicate 2,000 miles away from each other. There's a lot of obstacles, but we've overcome so much that if we can do it, you can do it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would love to hear how you fit, you know, a passion project like this into your lives. I mean, you guys live in different states. Greg just moved to LA, and getting your footing in a new place is, that has to be so stressful. Like, I went through it when I moved from Illinois, so I can only imagine, like, going through that and then also doing this project, or, you know, Hannah being still in school. Like, can you talk about this? Like, how?
You talk, Callie, man. You're the one who's in LA.
Yeah, so, like, when I first moved down here, I didn't know anybody. I have no family here, no anything, really. So I started just, you know, I found 90% of my jobs on Craigslist. And I think Craigslist is a great place to find work if you just ask the right questions and do your research. I took up some modeling jobs, and I hated it, but I met great people. You know, I'm a behind the camera type of person. So when I was on these sets, you know, just having people take pictures of me, I did it for the sole fact that I wanted to learn how these productions, like, work, how people talk, how they, you know, work together. And I made some great friends with some hairstylists, makeup people who I work with now, like, doing photography shoots. But, you know, then I interned at a talent agency for a couple months. Then I interned at a photo retouch job, just finding, you know, you got to try everything. You got to find, like, where you fit in. I went to these like monthly meetups with other creatives my age and much older, which I feel like, you know, I'm 26, and I feel like, you know, if you're young or old, you just need to surround yourself with people who are better than you in a way of, you know, you can learn something. Like, it's constructive criticism, and, you know, just stay away from those people who are just toxic jerks to you and all of that, because there's a lot of them, but there's a lot of good out there, too. People who put in their time, their sweet time, to help you, and you know, it just takes time to do that. And I worked at Urban Outfitters too. And, you know, it's just, I've tried all these things, and I thought I failed every one of them, too, you know? But it's not failure if you tried. And now I am graciously working in retail at Walt Disney Imagineering in Glendale. But it takes patience. It takes just asking the right questions, timing especially. Okay. And, you know, I'm just starting my journey. But all through that, you gotta put everything on the calendar and the schedule of what you want to do. You know, you need a portfolio, doing all these personal projects. Just make time to do it, because you can. There's always time to do it. You know, there's always priorities, and you just need to just put in the effort and work and talk to as many people as you can. Yeah, sometimes you won't sleep or anything, but it's still worth it. It's done. Like, it's incredible. Like, I don't know. I just feel so humble about it.
And how about you, Hannah, with school?
Yeah, that was, I really thought, well, the thing is, this semester, it's my last semester, but I'm only taking an independent study. I'm making another animation for a local museum with another classmate of mine, but the other two classes are just elective stuff that I already know probably 95% of what's being taught. So I thought it was going to be so easy. All the work I was going to need to do was going to be in class. So I assumed wrong. So that kind of shifted my schedule a little bit. But school really wasn't the problem for me. I think it was personal and family life. Well, just a little quick thing into my past life. I was titled the pastor's kid and the artist. And so when my dad left the elementary school ministry, that title was left. I didn't have that title anymore. So I was just the artist. And so I worked really hard to keep that title. And so I gained, friendships through that, because I was a really introverted kid. And so I worked all the time to maintain that title, to maintain friendships. And so subconsciously, I kind of carried that mindset over to other projects, for school and even just freelance. So I can tend to be a perfectionist and a workaholic, and someone is driven by accomplishments. And that led to me realizing that I was not present in my life with the people around me. And so that kind of, what opened my eyes is when my best friend got engaged in September, and I was a part of the big engagement surprise, and, you know, I was so happy for her. And then I go back, and in the next 2 weeks, I'm just slaving over my work and animating and doing conceptual designs and stuff. And then that, it gave me pause to think, I should be there for my best friend right now, and I'm giving excuses because I need to finish this project. And so that was kind of a personal thing for me to overcome, was to force myself to get out of that mindset that my work defines me and that my skills are my identity, so that I can, in order to pour in some of that energy into the relationships that God has set in front of me, so that I can invest into them and they can invest into me. And in turn, that gave me more energy to work on the stuff that I should have enjoyed. So that was the huge challenge for me, along with this project and work and school, just to balance out precious moments with your loved ones, because that's what really strengthened me to continue this project and to not feel so terrible about either some of the small failures or mistakes that I made in this project, because that's not ultimately what makes me who I am. It's how I hold myself and how I am with my loved ones. So that's kind of what gave me strength to keep going and to balance everything out, because now I have a set schedule and I set time aside to actually be with my friends and my family, because I don't know how long I'm going to be in this state, you know? Tomorrow is never guaranteed, so I really try and stay present. That's kind of what my theme is for this past semester.
Oh, that's very deep. When you say you might not be in the same state, do you mean moving to a different state, or do you mean a state of mind?
Oh, we can go both. But yeah, specifically I meant the state of Michigan. I have a couple places.
Goodbye, sanity.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna go crazy. But yeah, there's a couple states I could go to. One possibility is California. Another is Oklahoma. Another is Florida. There's a lot of options in 2017 that I still have yet to pray about and to consider. So that'll be very interesting.
Oh, well, I can't wait to hear what happens in 2017. So you mentioned it earlier about the Indiegogo campaign. Congratulations. It was successful. And
thank you.
Tell me, what did you learn from crowdsourcing? Had you done it before?
No, I haven't. Nope. No. You know, first question was, what should we use? Because there's Indiegogo, there's Kickstarter, GoFundMe. I was like, well, what, you know, one lets you, you know, keep the most of the funds, I think. Because I think some of them take bigger cuts than others. I think Indiegogo took like 5% or something like that. Yeah.
And even if we didn't make our goal, we'd still keep the funds.
Yeah, and then the other one was, you know, like, what kind of perks, you know, should we offer to people? Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, what would you want to see?
Slaving away with pens at our temples, like, what can we do?
So, you know, we offered, like, a digital ebook of, you know, the art of, and there's some people who even bought, like, physical copies, which we're going to be throwing together pretty soon, too. Digital scripts. Hannah, you know, she graciously, you know, allowed for some people to buy, like, you know, custom illustrations for her sign.
Wow.
And even characters in the film and your voice in the film, too.
Yeah. And then...
Someone bought that.
Yeah. And then someone bought the largest one, which was, you know, all the PSD animated files. But, you know,
It was like the whole shebang. It was like some sort of big producer title. And it was everything.
Wow. And then, yeah, you get everything beneath it besides like the commission and stuff like that, because that's only, you know, like once it's gone, it's gone. So what else did we do? I think we did
downloadable soundtrack, I think, is one of them.
Yes.
Physical books, ebooks, and custom illustration commissions for a few backers. And then prints. We got 5x7 prints that we'll be sending to some people.
And then the whole other thing was, you know, using Excel spreadsheet and all these things, just organizing.
Google calendars.
Yeah, and then social media, all this stuff, like keeping tabs. And, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't updated our social media in a long time. And, you know, but it's just like, whether people remember the film or not, I feel like, you know, we're just doing our own thing, going at our own pace. It's not like anyone's counting on us. We had incredible support, you know, supporting the Indiegogo campaign, and they know it's just us and it's going to take a while. You know, I think that was just in the back of my mind, like, oh, you know, I don't want to let down people and not be consistent. But, you know, like Hando was saying, you got to be present in your own life, in your own sanity and everything else. And, you know, people understand, and we'll just be sending out, you know, prizes later on. Definitely, like, once editing is close to being wrapped up, I think. So there's just a lot of that goes into it, you know, for the people who support you. So
yeah.
They're the ones.
But we promise the film will be done, and you will get your stuff. I promise.
Yeah, you heard it here.
It's nice that you have the gift of time and understanding from your audience there.
Yeah, I'm assuming for the most part, I hope so, but...
Yeah, it's a lot of the backers that we had, a lot of them were really close friends of ours. Yeah. Was there anyone that we didn't know that donated?
I don't think so. A lot of them were from, a lot of them, I would say, are friends, and a couple of them were your fans, too, from DeviantArt, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had a couple of my watchers that... Oh my gosh, they just poured buckets of money our way. I'm like, oh my gosh, y'all are crazy. I love you.
That's amazing. How has social media played into your process? I always look forward to your sneak peeks and your posts. A lot of people can become overwhelmed with, like, running social media for their projects. Like, what advice can you give? What have you learned?
I have my own stuff on the side. I admit I post more on my personal projects than the short films. But I think in the beginning, we were trying to be consistent. We tried to set days to do it. And then I think we kind of got overwhelmed and lost that sense of schedule. It was every time, like, we did something big for the film, whether it was, like, recording voices for the film,
yeah,
which was a blast, shooting, you know, the live action footage, and then, you know, Hannah's like finished sequences. It's cool to do sneak peeks for that, but
hit a point in production where, like, we can't really show things without giving things away when it comes to the film, because we're like knee deep in production. Like, pre-production stuff is already done, so there's not a lot that we can show publicly at this point.
And we showed a lot, you know, like us having fun and all that, but I think when it comes to not wanting to give out a lot, you know, another thing was, you know, maybe just post pictures of yourselves, just kind of like, you know, like, kind of, you know, like your daily routines. I think even on YouTube, Yeah, I think even, like, Hannah and I, we even just, like, showed, like, what our workspace looked like in the beginning. Like, this
That was back in May.
Yeah, and it's just, like, little things like that, you know. What fascinates me the most when I follow artists, you know, I love seeing their art on Instagram all the time. A lot of artists I look at, I never get to see who they really are. I see their art, but I don't get to see, like, their face or, like, where do they love to eat, like, their cafes, like, where are their, like, their quiet spots. And a lot of people don't like giving that up. That's okay. But I find it fascinating, you know, and I find it, like, on a connection level, too, is, like, just seeing who they are, like, what they love to do in their off time. That, to me, is,
like...
have
more of an emotional connection to the art itself than once you know who the artist is.
Yeah, and I would suggest that, you know, to whoever wants to do social media for their work. Because some people have a personal social media account. Some people have, you know, a professional mix with personal, which I do. I like to show best of both worlds, but some people like to do either or. And but, you know, just try to be as transparent as you can. And, you know, people will love you for who you are as well as your art, and it's just all complements together, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you want to know, like, you know, like, what your favorite artist loves to eat, or, you know, like, their opinions on something.
Bubblegum shrimp.
Just, like, stuff, like, you know, just, like, really personal stuff.
Yeah. I'm with you. I really dig the transparency. I have a friend who, like, a couple of her fans don't like her transparency. They're like, why do you always take pictures of yourself? It just seemed a little weird. I don't know. I would love to see the people who are making this beautiful art. So I completely agree. Currently, you said that you're, like, getting close to the editing phase. So you're definitely over halfway to the finish line. Yes. What can you say about the process so far?
Schedule as much as you can, schedule every little process, every, you know, in the beginning we were like, we're trying to find out how, you know, Hannah and I, like, we each have, everyone has their own workflow, and it's like, how can you bring it together, you know, to be in a perfect harmony. So, you know, recently we just had a talk, I think maybe last week, we're like, whoa, you know, our music isn't coming in as quickly because, you know, our composer's busy, we're busy. Our communication was lost, and I think that's a huge thing with me is communication. And so, you know, like, let's just work out a system. You know, you finish this rough, you send it to be composed, and while that's being composed, you finalize that rough. And then when it's all sent to me, I stick it on the editing timeline, so that's all squared away. And then the cycle, like, will repeat, and it'll be efficient. I think efficiency in communication, for sure. And then, you know, like, what Hannah does, like I'm not that good at it, but it's just, like, scheduling days and times, and, because, you know, you have to make your own schedule sometimes. Like, you just have to say no to things. That's a big issue. Like, there's things in your personal life that you should be able to know to where, like, can I afford to use my time on this or not? Like, can I just push this back to, like, this weekend? Because, you know, a lot of us, especially our age, we work 40-hour-a-week jobs. And, you know, we need to make time. And for me, my time is on the weekends and evenings, which I'm sure is the same for a lot of people who probably can't do their work at their jobs, too. But it's just, you know, finding that balance that works and just openly communicating with whoever you're working with. And I think you'll find, like, solid ground. And, you know, and the rest is history.
Because it sounds like it was pretty organic in creating a schedule. Like, did you have a production pipeline or schedule made, or is it just that been organic per, like, week basis?
You know,
it's probably per week. Yeah, it was. For me, because I don't get my schedule until, like, maybe a week in advance when it comes to working in retail. Mm-hmm. So it's always, like, off the cuff, like, oh, what days am I actually free to work on this? So
it was like that a lot.
Because when you work in retail, you just never know, man. It's totally insane. So that was a big kind of adventurous part of this whole production was, like, oh, how much am I going to get done by the end of Friday or something? But we ended up doing as much as we could, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, because I always think about, because I work a Monday through Friday, like 8 to 4 now. And before, I was doing, like, half freelance and half part-time at, you know, doing retail. And, you know, I always think about, like, well, what if I didn't have that free time? Like, how far, like, would we have come? Like, you know, what would have changed? And it's just, like, that makes me think, like, you just really have to spend your time wisely. And there are moments when it just, in my intuition, you know, it's just like, hey, someone asks me to go out somewhere, you know, to hang out. But I'm like, no, I just have this feeling like I need to work on this part of the project. And then you don't do it. And then you work on this project and you come up with this amazing illustration or story or whatever you're doing. And you're like, wow, like, what if I went? This, like, would have never happened. So I've been going off of that intuition for a while, too. I'm sure Hannah has, you know, like, a lot of people. And it's just, I have to make moments happen sometimes, too. But. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we did have an Excel spreadsheet of like week 1, 2, 3, and then we saw the days going down. We were freaking out. I'm like, you know what? Let's just not do that. Let's just like numbers are scary right now when they get less and less. And that was back to earlier. It's like just that pressure you put on yourself. Like sometimes just be a little easy on yourself. It's, you know, we're not a major company. Like,
it's like, it's okay, baby. It's your first film. You don't have to overwork yourself. You're okay.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's good. You realized it was giving you stress and you just like cut it out of the process completely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So acknowledge that stuff.
Totally. So to you guys, like, what is the difference between this personal project and your career? It seems like they're going to be strongly connected.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Right. You can go ahead, Hannah, if you want.
Yeah. It's probably like a big Kickstarter for me because the very first animation I made was the beginning of this year. So this whole year has just been this huge experimental dump of me like dappling in this animated world here. So with my first animation being Overcomer, and it just reached 1 million views on YouTube recently, that kind of, you know, gave me some encouragement, like, hey, maybe I can do this thing. That's actually pretty, not everyone can say they have 1 million views on something they made. So that was kind of a really huge jump for me. And then with this film, it's pushed me to schedule myself as a client in my daily life, it's also given me so much inspiration for future collaborations, because before I was so terrified of bringing other people into really personal projects because I felt like I knew what I wanted to say and I had this vision and I know how to execute it. But in reality, you only have one perspective and sometimes it can be short-sighted. And so having multiple people come in really just freshens things up. And I've kind of opened that door and broken down that barrier of, you know, fear of collaboration. So I'm really excited to do that in the future, either with Greg again or with other artists that I've affiliated with, especially for like The Limitless Crew that's been on hiatus for a few months now. But through this project, it's inspired me to work harder and to allow people to come in and criticize it if must, and to ultimately go a little bit bigger than I was before. Because now that I can do this, I know how to communicate with other people because that I have a higher appreciation for people who do this animation thing, you know, in every bit and every aspect. So I have a better understanding of other people who work in certain sections of production so that in order to work on more personal projects in the future, I know how to communicate better. So this project has been such a huge help for me to figure that out.
Very nice.
Yes. Yes.
What about you, Greg?
I think that, you know, with whatever project you're doing, I think you should always keep the future in mind. Keep, like, the end in mind, you know, like, what do you want to be kind of known for? Like, you know, like, all this hard work. We have a mentor. His thing was, it was pretty deep. It's like, you know, what are you going to think about, like, on your deathbed? What, you know, like, keep, like, you got to have the
end
in mind.
What's
going to
be on your tombstone?
Yeah, so it's just, like, what you're doing now is totally going to, like, reflect in the future. But, whether that puts a lot of pressure on you or not, it shouldn't, because, you know, you're doing what you love and you're just figuring things out. But I think with this project, you know, now that, you know, whether I'm working with Disney or not, it's, you know, whoever you show this to, they're going to see that hard work. And it's that story too, you know, just how everything happened and how you committed, I think is the most, you know, valuable thing. Because, you know, if I was hiring somebody, like, wow, you committed through this whole project and you had what, like, through email, all this stuff, like, that's impressive, and you didn't give up. You know, I just think, like, whatever you're working on, put everything you have into it, because otherwise, like, what's the point? And, you know, people will see how much hard work you put into your animation or your video, music, whatever you do. People can, like, identify easily sometimes, like whether you just didn't put your heart or soul into it. And I think just, you know, whatever you're doing now, just keep working at it. And, you know, I don't know. It's just like, I think whatever you're doing now is just going to pay off in your career. And that's just going to be something under your belt and your resume. And whether you went to school or not, you know, it's just showing that you did the work and you committed, I think, is important.
Mm-hmm. Right, because, like, you didn't go, you didn't finish college. I haven't even finished college yet. I don't have a piece of paper that says that I've been taught to do this. We just, like, we came together and we were like, we want to make something. And we don't care who the crap says that we can or cannot do this. We're just going to do it because we want to. And even though, for me, even if people see this and don't appreciate what came or like what went into this, I know for a fact that me and Greg have worked our butts off trying to get this thing done. And I appreciate our own work ethic in doing this. And I'm so proud of ourselves that we've done so far. But knowing that, just don't pressure yourself to, you know, see what other or assume what other people are going to see of you. If you know that you worked the hardest that you could, and you're still mentally sane, but knowing that you worked your heart out in something that you're really passionate about, then people will see that. If you don't worry about what other people will view of you, just know that in your heart of hearts, you know you've done the best that you could. And I feel like we are doing that. And I know people are going to see that.
Yeah, and another thing to add to that is a lot of people talk about how there's a lot of competition and people feel like their work isn't good enough, to become insecure about it and competitive. And I'm like, well, I feel like there's no competition because, for one, everyone does something different. Yeah. No one, even if you try to copy someone, it's not going to be the same. You're just not that person. Like, at the end of the day, you're yourself. Mm-hmm. You're going to just revert to being yourself. Like, there is no competition because
someone has a unique voice.
Yeah. Someone is going to enjoy your work and they're going to hire you, or your film is going to, you know, get green lit. You know, it's going to happen. It's just that that's just like the mindset people, you know, like have sometimes. And there's no competition because you're eventually going to get to where you want to go if you just keep working hard enough. And you all know that in the back of your mind, you know, it's like,
You'll never know unless you do, unless you try. Even though it's scary and it's risky and you could fail, at least you did something. Not everyone can say that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like, our project isn't done yet, but, like, the day it's done, like, I know this day is going to come. Like, we're just going to be, like, you know, a giant exhale. And then you're like, okay, what's next? Like, what's next? Like, let's do this, but bigger. You know, it's going to be, the process is never going to stop. Yeah. And as much as you want it to, because when it does, you're going to be like, why did I stop? And it's going to hurt, you know? It's like, I feel like, you know, if you really think you're meant to do something, go all out. And don't worry about what anyone else says, because it's none of your business. Just do what you want to do. And people are going to freaking love that. Like, they're going to, like, just love who you are and what you make. And just be confident.
Absolutely.
Because you live one life. Just do it.
Just do it!
I think we have to end on that point. Like, that was so powerful. God, you guys are both so purpose-driven. Like, is that something that drives you? Is, like, just being very introspective and just doers?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's my backbone completely, I think. No university, this is not a plug at all, but...
I guess it is.
No, but I think that community and everyone who's supportive, and Noah himself, and you, Cassie, and you, Hannah, just for, you know, always being supportive of everybody and me. But, you know, this is about everyone else too, and just, you know, just do the best you can, literally. Like, you just can't stop.
Yeah, when you have things to say, you want to do it with the best that you can in order to benefit the people around you. So, and that's a huge motivator for me when I get up in the morning.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you guys have ideas for future projects?
Together or separate? Because I don't think we've thought about, well, maybe. I don't know. We'll talk later.
Okay.
I have some animated projects that I want to do that I need to gather people for eventually, like concept and story. So that's, I think, towards the end of this film, I'm going to be, I'm just going to continue writing a couple stories that I think might be, you know, doable, and I really want to take this to, like, you know, like a 2D and 3D kind of, like, look. So, like, you know, just really clean animation, but something different. So, I'll have to figure that out, you know, like, what that is. But there's stuff in the brain that's working right now. So.
Awesome. Right. I think that's always something an artist has. They have, like, 20 to 25 different things, like, in the back of their mind, like, oh, I'll get to this. But, yeah, The Limitless Crew is definitely going to be something I will dive head first into once this project is done.
Okay, well, where can our listeners find out more about you guys, like social media plugs or your portfolio, just anything you want to promote?
You first, bro.
Okay, so my personal Instagram is greg.lawson, G-R-E-G-G dot L-A-W-S-O-N, greg.lawson. My website is www.lawsonfilms.com. You can see, like, a lot of my photography and freelance video projects on there. And then, of course, the short film, The Land Below Film, on Instagram. And I don't think we have a YouTube for it. Or
we do.
Video.
Yeah, I think it's, like, youtube.com/thelandbelowfilm, I believe.
Yeah, but in all honesty, you'll see more content on the Instagram, I think. Just
yeah, you will. You'll see the trailer on the YouTube channel, but everything else, like pre-production stuff, you'll see on the Instagram.
Nice.
Right.
And then me, I finally have an art portfolio website. Thank God. That is www.spanglerscribbles.com. That's SpanglerScribbles.com. And you can see all of my illustration work and my storyboards and animations through there. I also have an Instagram, which is HannahSpangler_art. And Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, Spangler_art. And Twitter is Spangler SM, and I also have a Facebook art page, which is Hannah Spangler Art.
Cool. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Yes, I lied about my website. It's not films, it's film. I forgot. There's someone else that took that domain, and that's not me. It's Lawson Film. There's no S. Sorry.
You liar.
I forgot, yeah.
Good to know. But The Land Below will be out probably in March.
Absolutely the end of March.
We'll put that on the trailers, like, probably in March.
Okay, cool.
Like, extended trailer, yeah.
Yeah, and when that happens, we'll share it through, you know, our social medias as well.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, yes. Thank you for coming on.
The Land Below will be released later this month. I'll be sure to update the show notes once it releases, and of course, we will post it across social media. I hope that you feel empowered to make a short film of your own, because as lofty as it is, and as hard as it will be, you can do it. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. It helps us reach and share these stories with a wider audience. Want to chat? We're on Twitter at @InkN, Paint Girls, on Facebook at Ink and Paint Girls Podcast, or email us at inkandpaintgirlspodcast@gmail.com. The Ink and Paint Girls Podcast is brought to you by me, creator and host Cassie Soliday, and produced by Val Patrone in sunny Burbank, California. Music composed by TV's Kyle. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent those of our respective employers. Until next time, this has been the Ink and Paint Girls Podcast. Thanks for tuning in.